Morning to you, Buzz.
Yeah, good morning, guys. They are doing it tough, Loz, aren't they? You, old mob.
Oh, they are, Buzz. Can you tell me what's wrong with them, though?
Well, fifth straight loss. And if you're looking at it statistically, you've got to look at their second halves in the last 5 weeks. They've been beaten 93 points to 8 in the second half of their last 5 games. I would suggest they would have to be, their fitness would have to be questioned, because to do it, to capitulate 5 weeks in a row after being in a position to win football games, it's got to be more than technique or game plans. Would you agree that that score is
off? Yeah, I raised that this morning. I'm unsure of whether it's fitness, how much all these stories that are coming out of the club are contributing. But on the weekend, I saw a team that tried hard and that first 40 minutes was good. And then the second half, geez, once they lost sort of control of the game, they lacked energy and they were just getting beaten to the punch.
I noticed the energy factor myself, and that's what I'm wondering, whether, you know, it is, you know, a fallback from the way they prepared. But look, Ricky's got the same staff there that he's had there for a number of years when they've, you know, challenged for the title. But the rules have changed, and a different sort of preparation was undertaken by most clubs. I look at the football side that took the field, and when Bateman's not there, and you know, there's other players missing from previous years. I don't think, you know, the fullback's not there, the centre's not there. I don't think they're as good a football side at the moment as, you know, we were talking about in the first 3 rounds of the competition when they were in that so-called top 5 teams who would challenge for the title. And look, obviously there has been some unrest there. But when you look at their first half performances, they're turning up each week with their boots because they're competing, and they're competing hard early. You can tell that, Laurie. I don't think the off-field, you know, chatter has had as much effect on it as some would think. It's all to do with their second half football.
Yeah, it's so like, it's like,
if
sorry,
you're not
Buzz.
Trying, if you're not trying and you're not, you know, you're not having a go and you've all got, you know, the shits, if I can use that word.
Yeah.
You're not going to play like you do in the first half each week. You know, they had Newcastle on the rack. They had the Cowboys on. They have teams on the rack early.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just say this, though, Loz. They're 1 win outside the top 8. They play the Bulldogs this week, correct?
Yep.
3 p.m. Saturday will be the desperation game of Magic Round. Any side coached by Ricky Stewart and Ricky's history of lifting teams when there is a little bit of, you know, siege around the place, I will back them to come out this weekend and revive their season.
Well, they need to, Buzz. They need to win this game against the Bulldogs, because if they lose this one, the way that the Bulldogs are going, all of a sudden the pressure will be applied to the playing group and a lot more questions will be asked. And I think you're right. I think that this weekend we get a good opportunity to see the Raiders, and hopefully they can turn it around and see it and do an 80-minute performance.
Yeah, their draw isn't great. I just had a quick look before I come. They've got the Bulldogs this week. Then they've got the Storm and the Roosters. Then the Broncos. Now they've got 2 very, very winnable games, Bulldogs, Broncos, although Broncos are playing much better.
They are.
Storm will be hard. The Roosters are injury ravaged. They could pick up 3 out of 4 and they're back in business.
Yeah, I still think they're a chance of, an outside chance the way they're going, by the way, of making a grand final. And I'm basing that on the talent that they have in that squad.
Yeah.
All right, I'm still not silly enough to go they can't win it, because if they get on a roll towards the back end, they've got talent in that squad that can possibly win.
They've got the Dally M champion in the side. They've got who we all said was the best forward in the game last year, Josh Papali, in the side. They've got Tarpany, who could explode any time, and I was thinking he was potentially Brad Clyde last year. You know, they'll get the fullback back. Look, I wouldn't write them off. I don't think they'll be making the grand final. I think they can get into the 8 and possibly go a week into the finals, which would be a fair season.
I still think that'd be a disappointing season. I think, you know, that this is a team that is very capable of doing a lot better than just going 1 week into the finals. And again, I just think that if they get themselves together at the back end of the year, you get on a roll, best players available, anything can happen. But we talk about them taking on the Bulldogs this weekend, Buzz. Yeah. What did you make of the Bulldogs yesterday? And in particular, their halfback, their prize signing, Kyle Flanagan, being hooked. What do you take out of that?
I think Kyle's confidence is totally shattered. And for the life of me, I can't understand on zero tackle yesterday how he sort of chipped the ball towards his winger, exactly what Sam Walker did for the Roosters a week earlier, wasn't it?
Mm.
And it went to touch, the winger sort of dived out and tried to flick it back. And, you know, it was, you know, that's not a first-grade footballer. And to be brutally honest, he hasn't played a lot of first-grade football all year. And I was not surprised that Trent Barrett got the hook out. You know, that was the Bulldogs' eighth loss. It was their sixth loss by 20 points or more. You know, they're negative 188 points, which is the most for that club since 1935, since they came into the competition. And, you know, they can't score points. They've been held to zero three times, haven't they?
Mm.
And, look, if I was Kyle Flanagan, I wouldn't like to be playing behind that Bulldogs pack at the moment. It's a fair pack. But you start thinking, I thought last night, I wonder how poor Sam Walker would be going if he was at Canterbury. Would he be able, you know?
Mm.
I was wondering about the other halves in the competition. How would they be able to go if they were at Canterbury? It's been a really, really disappointing year because after what Trent Barrett did at Penrith last year, we all gave Baz very much credit for the attacking football that Penrith played. But he hasn't been able to do it because he hasn't got the squad to do it.
No, he certainly hasn't got the talent compared to Penrith. But the thing about young Kyle yesterday, Buzz, was his end of sets were just poor. He just couldn't build any pressure. And that's what you want from your seven. And I think it's a big decision for Baz because he's invested in him and giving that confidence to say at the start of the year, this is your team. But now he's sort of at a crossroads because does he make that big change this week?
Yeah. Well, look, I just texted Trent Barrett 5 minutes ago. He came back to me, Baz. The problem is Lachlan Lewis went to hospital after the game yesterday. He would have been the obvious replacement. Now, Baz hasn't had a report back on him. He's had a report back on Corey Allen. You know, he went off on the stretcher with the head and neck injury, and he's got an ACL shoulder. It's been separated, so he's out for 6 weeks, but he's waiting for a medical update on Lachlan Lewis. But if you go into hospital, I presume you're out of the bubble, so I doubt he'll be going to Magic Round, Lachlan Lewis. So I think they're going to have to stick with young Flanagan. Maybe it was a wake-up call he needed. It was just, you know, we want to see footballers try things, but look, the Bulldogs need structure, not, you know, zero tackle kicks and what he was doing on the end of all their sets.
Buzz, what about what's going down in the Maldives with my two mates? Has there been a stink or what's the story?
I was telling Bulldog and Ray yesterday, Dave Warner is not a fan of mine when I rang him.
Really?
He doesn't like some of the stuff I write in the column, he says, but anyway.
Any truth to the punch-up?
Well, I told him to get in the queue when he said he didn't like it.
Honestly, how many you got in that queue, Buzz?
Oh, there's quite a few, Laurie. You like it. You think it's funny, don't you?
I love it.
You do love it, yeah.
But I had a bit of a funny relationship with Clarkie before we became close personal friends on this show. But anyway.
Yeah, that was just the Sharks v Tigers thing. That's right, I'm over that now.
Yeah, yeah. So, look, what happened, as you guys know, there's 40 Australian cricketers, medias, ex-players in the Maldives, all staying in the same resort. And they can't go outside. They're in quarantine. They can go to the bar at the resort and things like that. And boys being boys, are obviously spending a bit of time in the bar, as you would.
As you do.
And I'm told on Thursday night, it got a bit rowdy in there, and Flats and Dave Warner had a disagreement that it became physical, and they had to be separated. You would agree, Clarkie, there's a little bit of form there with both men on the drink.
Not with each other, though, I wouldn't have thought. I don't think Slats and Davey have ever had beef.
But colourful pasts on the booze. But I must say, when I started making phone calls, they were both very strong in their denials. And but, you know, they're not going to come out and say, yeah, we bashed the quite as they are. They're not going to own up to it. All I will say, Clarkie, is I am very confident in the person that rang the Sunday Telegraph on Saturday morning, who has normally been very, very reliable and on the mark. I do notice that Dave Warner on that, on that massive Twitter following he's got, didn't deny the story on social media, which if he was totally, totally innocent, he probably would have. Particularly after, you know, it went online and was picked up by other news organisations. But, you know, I can't say any more, Clarkie, that they're both denying anything happened.
Yeah,
look, I think there's been some sort of disturbance and maybe it wasn't all that serious. But unfortunately, it's my job in that column when we do hear things like that to, you know, put in the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no doubt we'll
hear more, won't we?
Did you ever have many blues, Clarkie, apart from the Simon Tattich one, which was well publicised?
I had a heap of disagreements. Yep.
Did you?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think we all did. I think I walked into it.
Did you used to go, mate, if it ever got physical? Could you handle yourself?
Well, depends. Did I ever have a punch up with a teammate? Never. Even though stuff that was written, it was like I did with Caddo. But again, like I say, I feel like I walked into one of the most successful sporting teams ever this country's seen. And I can tell you now there weren't too many relationships where everyone was best mates. These guys used to disagree, but once they stepped foot on the field, they loved winning so much that the team would always come first.
That's
and I think you can say that about any team.
In footy as well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a difference as well. You can have a blue with someone, like a verbal.
Yeah.
I don't think there's too many times.
I've never seen anyone have a couple of times.
It was a couple of times, a bit of push and shove. I didn't see anyone stink.
Yeah,
but
me either.
Push and shove, but argument-wise,
it happened every day, again, even at training, you got the bowlers trying to rip the batsman's head off. Guys bowling 150k bounces at you. It was on every day at training. But again, I think, and that's my point about this story, I'm keen to know, was it verbal? Was it just a disagreement at the bar? Because that happens regularly, especially if you're in isolation, drinking, not much else to do versus actually getting physical, then there's a, you know, then there's a much bigger story. So hopefully, Buzz, like you say, hopefully it was just a bit of a verbal at the bar and no one got hurt.
Now, Buzz.
Yeah, no. Well, I can confirm no one got hurt.
Yeah.
That's so, good. You know, if someone had got hurt, I'm sure we would have heard more about it.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, Buzz, a couple
of
weeks.
There were a lot of people at the bar, and one of the people at the bar was our informant.
Yeah, I'll just say that.
And I explained that today.
Yep.
And I'll speak to him on the phone.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Moving away from cricket, a couple of weeks ago you wrote in the paper, Daily Telegraph, your New South Wales team. You did have James Tedesco fullback. And I must say, I would have James Tedesco as fullback too, by the way.
Yeah.
But Tommy T, where do you play him and how good is he going?
Yeah, well, look, I think it's a conversation they have to have now, Laurie, because I actually rang Brad Fittler last night at about 6:30 because I wanted to be doubly sure he was convinced that Tedesco is still the way to go, okay?
Yep.
So Freddie was driving home from Cogger Jubilee Oval where he'd watched the Bulldogs Dragons, and he hadn't seen the game on television, so it was no point, you know, continuing the questioning about, you know, whether there is any thought at all of going with Tommy Turbo. If, and I'll throw this back to you, if you were picking a State of Origin side strictly on form and you were still coaching them, who would you pick? On form, Laurie.
Oh, yeah, well, if you're picking on form, and I could only pick one of them, yeah, you go, Tommy. But I'm a Tedesco fan, and I think Tommy's probably my favourite player. I find a position for Tommy somewhere, either on the wing or centre. But I'm not getting rid of James Tedesco. I think he's the bigger the game, the better he plays type of player as well. I think he's an outstanding player. He's done it for a number of years, and I'd feel confident with him and Tommy in the same team rather than having to go one way and leaving one of them out.
Yeah, you know, at the start of the year, I did those top 10. I had Tedesco, Cleary and Munster in the top three players, right, in the top 50. But I would suggest this, that in the lead-up to Origin, before the team's picked in about 3 weeks' time, if Tommy Turbo continues along the line of form he has since coming back from a hamstring injury, he would have to go somewhere into that top three on 6 weeks of form. The other three were put ahead of him because Tommy had hamstring injuries all along. Mm. But what we saw yesterday in the previous weeks, and his value to Manly and the way he's turned this season around, demands inclusion in that top three if he keeps it going. It's all about consistency. It's like Cameron Smith was so great because he did over 15 years. Harry Grant's done it over a year and a half, you know?
Yeah. Well, he certainly
has. But it's a debate. It's a debate.
Well, it will be, and it'll be one. And I can remember last year when New South Wales lost, everyone was giving it to the coach and the selectors about picking people out of position. Now, if I'm in their situation this year, I think I'm picking people out of position again, because you've got to find a position for Tom. I think you've got to find a position for Tedesco. I think if Latrell comes back in the next 2 weeks and recaptures the form that he showed at the start of the year, you've got to find a position for him.
Yeah, but Lowy, you've also got to find a position for Jerome Luai at 5'8". This Penrith side's unbeatable, and they're all doing it around Cleary and Jerome Luai. So if you pick those halves, right, to get the club combination, where do you pick Jack White, who's not playing well? At some stage, you've got to say, look, we've got to pick a form football side. It's a really tough selection spot, that 5'8".
It is. I think it is.
But how many games they won straight? 27 outside the grand final.
They're playing good football. They're, you can't deny Penrith as in playing good football and Luai and Kyrie.
Well, again, who do you pick? Luai or Whiten?
No, I pick Whiten. I'm a Whiten fan.
Well, you've thrown the form book out the window.
Yeah, I have.
What about you, Clarkie?
Jared? I believe there's some people and players are built for the next level, and it's not just about form. I think to go and score, you know, 1,000 runs in first-class cricket doesn't mean you're going to smash it at international cricket. Different conditions, different opposition, different standards. So to me, some players, you just know they can cut it at the highest level. And again, I think there's a part of loyalty as well. Like Tedesco, for mine, has been the best player in the game for, let's say, minimum 3 years. So to me, he has earned the right over a three-year period to own that number one jersey. And I don't think he's playing anywhere near bad enough footy. Tedesco's playing great, but he's not playing bad enough footy to lose it. So Tommy Turbo's going to have to find another place, I reckon.
My point is this, Penrith, you know, we're up against Cameron Munster. We need to take form players into that game. We're up against DCE and Munster, for goodness sake, behind a great Queensland forward pack.
And Luai was in good form leading into the grand final too, Buzz, last year. And they just
didn't
play well in grand final night.
Mate, he was in the blue squad.
What about Cody Walker? Where's his name gone as well?
Well, Cody Walker hasn't been going great because South hasn't been going great. One thing in Cody Walker's favour, and I was thinking about it on the weekend, is that Wayne Bennett moved him to fullback. That will show Freddie, that'll show Brandy that this guy is not just a 5'8". But he's struggling a little bit out the back there. He's going okay because the Souths are struggling.
Yeah, he's no fullback there. They've got to move him. They've got to put him straight back into the halves and put Alex Johnson.
Well, you ring Wayne Bendon.
Oh, no, I won't be telling Wayne. Wayne doesn't listen to our show, so I won't get back to Wayne.
He's a big fan, surely. Buzz on
I can't believe you want to get coaching Wayne Bennett now. That'll do me,
yeah, after I got sacked.
That will officially do me. Telling Wayne Bennett how to pick a footy team. He's won 7 comps.
How good is it?
So would Loz if he wasn't in here doing radio and he was coaching. He would have won 7 as well.
Buzz. Thanks for your support, Buzz. Buzz.
Yeah. Oh, mate, we go back a long way. Now and again, you know.
Buzz, all right. Have a great week, mate.
Yeah, you too, guys. Great to chat.